to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Hey folks, this is Tom. Today's podcast is a recording of a sermon that Gavin preached back in January of 2014 at First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The name of the sermon is A Simple Church on Every Street. Gavin and I will be back in the studio very soon to record more podcasts. In the meantime, enjoy this message.
I'd like to begin by reading today a passage in Luke 10. And if you can, I think it'll be on the screen, so you can follow along with me. Luke 10, beginning here in the first verse. After this, the Lord appointed 72 and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And when you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town." Well, Steve asked me to come and kind of give a little update and share with you guys what God's been up to with the Simple Church Alliance and all that that involves. And I'm happy to do that. But I thought at first might be good to provide some context. I think it'd be helpful to explore a little bit of God's work around the world and elsewhere in the United States in order to provide some context for understanding what we really sense that God is doing here locally. Perhaps you are familiar with the incredible underground growth of the church in China that's happened in recent years. But I wonder if many Christians, or perhaps you would know, that on the day of Pentecost in 2009, there were 300,000 people baptized. And on the same day, on Pentecost in 2010, 1 million people were baptized in the country of India. In northern India, 4,000 churches were born in just 10 years. And recently, 150,000 gypsies in Western Europe turned to faith in Jesus Christ. 160,000 Chinese were recently baptized in 1 year. And 150,000 Muslims turned from Muhammad to Jesus in recent years. And what about the stories of the church rapidly growing? Would you believe it if I told you that there was a church in one particular country that in 1 year saw 15,000 churches planted? Can you imagine such events? How about imagining a similar types of things happening here in Kentucky? Are we open to that? What about being involved with something like this? How might our understanding of God, of Jesus, of following Him, and even of church have to change to allow for such possibilities? Depending on where you get your news, you may have not heard about events like this and others. And there are countless of other stories that we could talk about for hours of what God is doing. In fact, some people would argue that in recent years, the church across the globe is experiencing acts like explosion in ways that haven't happened since the beginning, really. A favorite book of mine that kind of documents some of these activities of God, and there's lots that have been written about it, but a favorite one of mine is a book by a guy named David Garrison called Church Planting Movements. And in this book, David Garrison looks at where the church is rapidly exploding. And he tries to identify all over the globe, when this happens, what are some of the characteristics on the ground? What does the church look like? What is God's? What seems to be common amongst all of these stories and these places where God is doing these extraordinary things? And here's what he came up with. Here's the 10 things that he identified. He said, first of all, there's extraordinary prayer taking place. There's abundant evangelism. There's intentional planting of not just churches, but reproducing churches. So when they start a church, they're doing it with the idea that this church will start lots of new churches, and those churches will start new churches, and on down the line. God's word is in authority. There's local leadership. There's really not a clergy-laity divide. They're really everybody's clergy, and everybody sees themselves as clergy. House churches are really prevalent. Churches plant other churches. There's rapid reproduction. One church, 15,000 churches in 1 year, that type of thing. And these churches are healthy churches. They're filled with all the things that a healthy church like First Alliance might enjoy, although maybe perhaps a bit smaller and very much more dynamic. But what if these were the characteristics of the church here in the USA? Some believe, and I'm one of them, that God longs to see the kingdom grow here in similar ways to this. And some people might even would suggest that a church planting movement is already happening here in the United States, or at least it's in the infant stages, that God is tilling the ground for something incredible to happen. The year I jumped into this whole deal, it's been about, I guess, gosh, Steve, what, 3.5 years ago now. That Easter, I woke up to a front page article on USA Today entitled Simple Easter. And the story highlighted the growing number of people aligning themselves with these very principles with hopes of seeing disciples and churches multiplied. It read in the story, it said, in January 2011, a survey by Barna Research, the Ventura, California-based company he founded and later sold, finds that 5% of Americans, about 11.5 million American adults, say that they attended a house church or simple church, which is not associated in any way with a local congregational type of church, at least weekly or monthly. And that's up 4% from about 8.8 million adults in 2006. Although the increase is slight, it's clearly more than a passing fancy. It has staying power. And in this article, they also discussed the work of some individuals that God has really blessed us in the past few years to be able to spend some time with and be encouraged by. Guys like Neil Cole, who reported in not too long ago that the work he was involved with, he was seeing one church out in California started every week for a couple of years. In fact, he told a story one time of how his house church, someone had asked him, hey, how many churches has your house church, the one you and your family are a part of, how many have they been a part of seeing started? And he said, and I can't remember the numbers, I'm a little fuzzy, but it was something like, well, we lost track at 150. And he said that at that time, we were trying to keep track of it all, and those churches existed on, it was something like 4 different continents, all as a result of his small, simple church. Felicity and Tony Dale were mentioned in this article, and they've been involved with this type of thing and encouraging this type of activity in the United States for well over 20 years. And we've had the opportunity to have both of those people share at our conference, our Simple Church conference that we've done for the last 2 years, that Felicity Dale and her husband came the first year and Neil last year. But they've been a part of seeing these sorts of things happen, and it does seem that God is doing something new. He's stirring, he's tilling the ground right here in our own soil. And so this brings me to the Simple Church Alliance. We believe that God has called us really to join him in this movement. We believe that God wants to see a church planting movement happen here in the States that comes as a result of new disciples being made and forming new churches. And we really try to focus on that priority, disciples being made that form naturally churches. And we very much want to be characterized by pretty much the same principles that characterize church planting movements. If we look at the slide again, we see those things. That's a picture of what we are hoping to be like and trying to be intentional about aligning ourselves with. Perhaps a way that you could picture, I think, what God is sensing in my, what I sense God doing is that he wants to have a simple church on every street in every city in America. A simple church that existed on every street in every city in America where these sorts of things were happening. Another way of picturing what we look like right now might be this picture. And this is one of these big sticky tabs that I have kind of up on my in my office. And this kind of explains in a sense the churches, what's happened so far since we started. And that first group there in the middle was the group of folks that started meeting at my home. That group doesn't exist anymore. And you know, there's X's on here, and there's lots of different things you're seeing here, but that was our group, and we started some groups. Some of those didn't work, and then some of those groups have ended up going on and starting other simple churches. And some of the dotted lines are ones where seems to be a simple church forming, but we wouldn't quite call it that just yet. And some of the dotted lines are kind of connected to the original group, but not maybe directly related. And then there's one little circle down here all by itself, and there's a guy that God's brought into a relationship with us who I really believe God may be using him to birth an entirely different network that's kind of very similar to the principles, but kind of has a slightly different focus. And so this would be a way that we might draw picturally in a picture of kind of what the Simple Church Alliance looks like today. And when I look at that, I see lots of my chicken scratch and lots of maybe kind of confusing things. But really what I see is just stories of people. And I could share with you lots of stories. I could share hard stories and not so exciting stories if you'd like. But most time people, when they invite you to come back, they don't like to hear like the blood and gut stories. So, you know, I do think that mostly what is happening is that God is really doing some cool things. I think of this one family that lived on the street with a family that was involved. That they just reached out. They just started going in. They were persons of peace. They welcomed them in their home. And I think this next picture is the Yoder family. And this was Don. Some of y'all know Rich Dirac. He baptized Don and his whole family, his wife and his son, and just this year. And that's been real joy. I think about Josh and Catherine, who God brought into my life way back when we first got started with this. He was a new believer, and this past year he's had a lot of things happen, and he got married, and we were able to be a part of that. But Josh has really kind of taken on, he and his wife and some others, the leadership of a skate church that really kind of was born in that skate community, and now we're looking to probably have three skate churches. Hopefully we're meeting with people right now, and once this weather kind of breaks. But this was an article that was done in the paper this year about Josh that kind of talked about what was going on. You can't really see the picture of all the people kind of meeting there. We'd meet outside, and now we're kind of, God's opened doors for us to meet inside. But there's just been some wonderful things happening there. I think of one family that reached out to a neighbor with cancer and welcomed this person over to their home and prayed for this person. After many, many doctor's visits, that very next week he came back with no cancer. And that was God. I think of the young couple that's involved and is about to get married at one of the homes, actually, of some folks in Simple Church who he was met by simply working in a car dealership when a guy picked him up in his car. He was driving a guy back to his office after getting his car worked on. And a conversation about Jesus ensued. And this guy ended up getting involved, and his girlfriend. I actually had an opportunity to sit down with him, and they said, you know, really, it was whenever we started coming here that we found Jesus. And I think about a guy named Nate who God brought into our life. Some of you know, and we still got some pictures. This was Josh baptizing his mom at the Woodland Park this summer, and we had some wonderful baptisms there. I think there's a few more pictures we can kind of maybe go through. I tried to put some of those on here, but there's a guy named Nate who started up a simple church in Third Street Stuff Cafe. Some of you are familiar with that, and they meet down there on Wednesday nights. And the very first night, there was a guy that overheard them talking about what God might do. And he later told me that he was going to kill himself. But that night, he heard those guys talking about Jesus, and he found Jesus that night. And so there's Jeff, and I think about the Wheelers. Some of you all know them. They just told me recently they're so excited that they just grew their simple church down to themselves. Everybody's left, and some of that's because people have moved, but a lot of people, some people are starting new works. And it's exciting to see them now thinking and dreaming about God, sensing God using them to reach out to people in Jessamine County through gardening and this sort of thing, and farming, local farming. And I'm really excited to see what God does with them. I think about the Jenkins family who came to me and they said, well, can we come to Simple Church? And I said, well, and I just felt like, I said, you know, you probably should just start your own. And he said, well, okay. And that week they started they had groups of friends that would always get together, but they didn't really get together to talk about Jesus. And now that group of friends have become a church family. They're functioning like a church family, praying for one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another, sharpening one another. And that's been really exciting. Jeff and Dara, who were up in Pendleton County this past year, been praying and praying, saying, God, we want to be a part of this, but we just don't know how to get started. They started going to a park. And this year, God has seen people come into the fold, people that weren't involved with church or Jesus, coming into this family. And God's forming this spiritual family right up there in rural Pendleton County. And I think about Luke, who was at UK, and he decided he wanted to start a church in his dorm. And he was an honor student, and he got a church started at the end of his freshman year of college that met in his dorm, and now that's still meeting. It's moved to another place, and there's new people that are involved, and it's very fluid, and there's lots of people coming and going, but there's life there, and people are coming to encounter Jesus in real ways that have never before. And then I think about people like the Harrises and the Phoebuses and the Reitlers and Sonia, who are a part of Symbol Church, and now they've all left the state of Kentucky. But they're there in these other states, faithfully praying about saying, God, can we do this here? Can you begin a new church that would multiply and rapidly grow in our new community? And that's really exciting to me. A big part of what we think God's going to do is train up college students to learn to live their faith out in this way so that when they get a job wherever they are and wherever they go, they won't go saying, I hope I can find a good church. But they'll go saying, I can't wait to see the kind of church God bursts through me. And that's really exciting. And again, there's lots of stories of people not being able to get it and having a hard time with some of this because it is so different, especially if you've been a part and enjoy, like a lot of us do, church as we've kind of grown up with it. And that's okay too, because this isn't about being the right way or the wrong way. We're about God expanding His kingdom however form He wants it to take. And so people, the big picture is when I look at that one, I see people stepping out of their comfort zones, saying, God, here I am, send me. People saying, Lord, I think I'm willing to go make disciples and trust that You will build the church naturally and organically. I don't know how that works. I'm not even sure if it's possible, but I'm willing to go and try and to kind of shed my life of excess things that stand in the way of that happening. And that's what really excites me. In fact, I really believe that God wants to raise up more workers for the harvest field. And I would extend Bob's invitation to you, not that God might want to use you to start a simple church on your street. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean you can't come here. Or I don't know what, I can't answer. We can't peer down the future. I don't know what all that would mean, but I know it would mean going with Jesus wherever He says to go. And I would echo the desire for this church to plant a new church. And I came in and I saw, I've actually been thinking the possibilities, and it was interesting, that word you guys have up everywhere. But I would even like to challenge this church to perhaps think about starting 100 churches this year. Because I think that's complete. I don't even know if that might not even be a stretch of faith. I don't know. But that's entirely possible. And I would encourage, I would be willing to help you. Think through that, what that might look like. Walk down that road with you as others. I'm sure the others here would be. So that's what we see happening, and that's what we want to be a part of. And I think Luke 10 is instructive on how to maybe kind of think about what might it look like for me to get started with this. We talk about Luke 10 a lot. In fact, I could talk about it for days, but I would like to just run back through that passage to point out some things to you, I think, that are very instructive about Jesus's way and how He sees the mission going forward and perhaps how it might could look for us. Luke 10, chapter, verse 1, he says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, also sent them two by two before His face into every city and every place where He Himself was about to go. You know, I'll encourage you to find a partner and get ready to go. Go where Jesus is about to go. You know, it's interesting. I was reading this one and I kind of thought, you know, it's so funny. I often pray, Lord, go before me, as if I'm about to show up, you know, like, Lord, prepare them for what they're about to experience when I walk into the room. And Jesus says, I'm sending you to the places that I'm about to go. He says, go where I'm about to go. So find another couple or find another person committed to going with you and suiting up for the journey and the adventure. And go with the expectation and confidence that Jesus is about to show up. He's going to come behind. He's coming. And we're preparing the way. And pray for more workers to join you. In verse 2, he says, he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He doesn't even really say, hey, see all those poor, helpless people over there? Pray for them. He says, pray that more people will go with you. And there's something about it, isn't it? Whenever you do, it's not until sometimes you decide to get up and go somewhere that you are aware, man, we need more people. And that's where I am. I'm like, man, there is possibilities around, but we need more workers. We need God to raise up. That's, in fact, I would encourage you, if you pull out your phone, set the alarm for 10:02 every morning. And when that alarm goes off, may it be a reminder, you pray to the Lord, send out workers in your harvest. If we don't do anything in one day that we are sure Jesus wants us to do, we can know that we obeyed Him at least in one way every day if we ask Jesus to send more workers into the harvest. Set an alarm to remind you to do that. And every day, stop and pray, Lord, send more workers into the harvest. He told us to pray that prayer. And so, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, hey, the harvest is ready. We need to respond to their prayers. Not them necessarily respond to ours. Go. Send more people. And Jesus said this in John 4:35. He said, do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And so I think there is something here about seeing the need for more workers once you yourself are a worker. So sign up. Say, Lord, here I am, send me. And Lord, send others. Be willing to adjust your calendar, even in your entire life, even your paradigm of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a part of the church. Be willing to lay all that on the table and lay it at the foot of the cross so that you and your family can spend time in the harvest fields. This isn't easy in our culture. In our day. But we have to make some serious decisions. Jesus tells the believers to leave their place of comfort and go to the comfort zones of the lost. Think about that. For centuries, we do the exact opposite. We say, non-believers, leave your comfort zone and come into the comfort zones of all of us Christians. But Jesus says the exact opposite. He says, leave your comfort zone. Go into the comfort zones of the harvest field. And you're going to be uncomfortable when that happens. You see, when people come onto our turf, we're in power. We're in charge. But Jesus says, humble yourself and go and submit and go into the places where the harvest is. And you'll be a guest there. And God will use you in great ways. Expect trials. Jesus says, go your way. Behold, I'm sending you as lamb amongst wolves. Expect to be attacked. Expect to be challenged. Travel light and stay focused. He says, carry neither a money bag, knapsack, sandals, and greet no one along the road. You see, money and possessions and stuff and all this stuff, it can attract people for the wrong reasons. It's not reproducible. And Jesus is saying, having nothing with you, let's other people know as well that they can pass it along too. If you show up with only Jesus and they get Jesus, then there's no denying. Well, all he has is Jesus. That's all I've got. I can do this too. I can go. I can share. I can be a part of this. You see, they were going where Jesus was going to go. And he even told them, hey, don't get caught up in distractions. Don't stop to talk to people along the way. And so we have to be willing to say, God, where are you sending me? Okay, boom. Whatever's going to distract me, even the good things, I can't get caught up in those distractions, and I'm going to where you're sending me. You know, Jesus walked by a lot of people that he didn't heal because he was going where the Father sent him. And so we have to kind of start thinking in the same way. Look for the persons of peace. It says, but wherever house you enter, say peace to this house. If a son of peace is there, peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. Go in peace. Don't go looking to, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm going to go over to my neighbor. They're an atheist. I'm going to go over there. I need to go over there and figure out how I'm going to have a conversation with them and kind of correct that. Don't go and looking for a debate or an argument. Go in peace. Go in peace. And look for that person that's, God's already moving. He's stirring in their heart and they're welcoming to you. They're welcoming you into their home. Go there. Remember, Jesus is a friend of sinners. See if you can earn that same reputation. And see if God might even use you to go into these homes of peace and see entire households come to faith in Christ. I really believe that that's what God would have happen these days. You know, we don't see that because we're so individualistic. But if we go into the home of a person of peace, just like the Philippian jailer, man, I believe God would see entire families come to Christ. Not just the kid, but the mom and the dad, the aunt, the uncle, the cousins, the sisters. So look for the person of peace. And then get to the kitchen table. Jesus, in this passage, he's almost mandating eating and drinking with people. Man, we know how to do that and we love doing that. And when he says, when you remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Don't go from house to house. He's saying, don't shop around for the best cook. Whatever city you enter, they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. He's basically saying, relationships, relationships, relationships. I knew a guy one time, he said, my whole way I look at this and what I'm doing is I try to get to the kitchen table. Because I know if I can sit down with a mom or a dad at the kitchen table, that they have welcomed me in and they are welcoming Jesus in. Get to the kitchen table. 9 times in the book of Luke alone, we see Jesus going into homes and ministering. And as a side note, when we have Simple Church, one way we really just think about what we do is that's it. We get together to have a meal with Jesus as a family of followers of His. And there's a lot can be said about that, but that's a side note. So, demonstrate the kingdom and declare the kingdom. Jesus said, and heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. So when you go and people welcome you into their home or into their life, into their sphere, would you be willing and open to pray for physical, mental, emotional healing? Would you be willing to do that? And that's not always comfortable for me, but boy, God's really teaching me a whole lot about that. I was welcomed into the home of a guy the other day, and I knew he just hurt his knee skateboarding, and I knew that God wanted me to pray for his knee and put my hand on it, and I didn't really feel comfortable about that. But I did, and I'm praying still that God's going to heal his knee, and it was kind of a pretty wild experience. But would you be willing to demonstrate the kingdom of God in people's lives, trusting God through you to see miracles happen, to see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and then declare? You see, sometimes we go in with the declaring first, but I think Jesus is kind of saying here, He's kind of saying, go in peace and serve, and then declare. You kind of see that pattern in what Jesus is instructing the people here to do as He is sending them out. So if your friend that welcomes you in, they are welcoming of the message, you declare the kingdom to them, and they receive the kingdom, they receive Jesus, then right now, man, you have just begun an infant church. Invite their neighbors and their friends, and be willing and open to that becoming a vibrant, healthy, reproducing church that's founded upon relationships and disciple building. Continue to meet with them. Continue to have meals with them. The Lord's Supper. Have Jesus remembering meals with them. And see if God would help them to find other people in their lives that might want to be welcomed in just the same way that you have welcomed them. And lastly, Jesus says, hey, get ready to be rejected. He says, but whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, the very dust in your city which clings to us, wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. He who hears me and rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Jesus is managing expectations, and he knows, and he wants us to know that when we sign up to go with him, it's going to be hard work. We're going to be like sheep among wolves. We're going to be attacked. People are not going to be as welcoming as we like to think they would be. Just be prepared for that. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I really want to encourage every single one of you in here to say, what would be the possibilities for your family, for you, if we just took Jesus' advice in this year and tried to apply it? What could happen? How many churches might be birthed? Maybe someday you would be able to stand up and say, and I pray this for me, that you'd be able to say, yeah, we started this little church and now there's, I don't know, hundreds of churches. Last time we heard, they're all over the world as a result of just being faithful to obey Jesus and go.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.